And I'm wondering if my wife, who said one of the last things she said to me before we left the house is, aren't you going to take anything with you to sell? I would like her to come and leave a word of testimony since she obviously is the wise one this morning. I'm telling you, listen to me. The bank account fat, the bills paid ahead, the car running smooth is not a sign that God's pleased with you. If it is, I'm in deep doo-doo. But isn't that our mindset? Isn't that the American church way? God wants me to have a beautiful two-story with a white picket fence and a dog and a cat and two-car garage and two cars and a boat and a jet ski and a motorcycle. God wants me just to be blessed, healthy, wealthy, wise, fat, doing so good, wonderfully, hog stinking wash. I hate to tell you, but God is not one bit interested in if you're comfortable or not. God doesn't care. He doesn't come to you and say, you okay, buddy? You feel okay? Is it warm enough here? Are you cold? Here, here. We'll take care of you. Can I get you a drink? Jesus ain't your Santa Claus. He ain't your butler. You know what he said? Hebrews calls him the captain of our salvation. The captain of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 2. He says this. You see that fox running over there? That fox, he has a hole. He's going to go sleep somewhere nice and warm tonight. You see that bird flying overhead? That bird's got a nest. But the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. And we think that we deserve better than what Jesus had. So I'm going to tell you, this is negative preaching to the carnal mind. The carnal mind doesn't like this preaching. You know, to me, there's, you ever heard of an oxymoron? Dry wine, bittersweet. I'm going to tell you an oxymoron. Carnal Christians. It's two exact opposites trying to describe. So it's, you can't be a carnal Christian. You're backslid. That's all there is to it. You're not a Christian. You're the furthest thing from being a Christian. We've made it about the blessings. We've made it so much about the pot of manna. As long as I got my pot of manna, Jesus, I will praise you. As long as you're going to throw quails down from heaven, we're going to be okay, God. You know what we do? We damn and condemn the children of Israel. We call them morons, every name in the book. We're no stinking better. Oh, Miriam, where's the tambourine? Somebody going to give me a tambourine. The Red Sea's divided. Miriam's happy. Woo-hoo! I think we ought to have a dance and a song, and they're singing, and they're joyful. 3 days later, 3 days later, I wish to God we never left Egypt. Well, I've never been that way. Oh, you've never left a Sunday high and by Monday morning didn't feel God and felt backslid and didn't want nothing to do with God? Liar, liar, pants on fire. We've all been there. It's because we're basing our salvation on blessing. How many knows Peter said we walk not by sight, but by faith. What is sight? Sight's a sense. So Peter could have easily just said, we walk not by touch. We walk not by hearing. We walk not by taste or feel. We walk by faith. And I'm telling you, sometimes this is all the faith you've got. You don't believe me, do you? Peter and the disciples fished all night. Nothing. All night. And these weren't just, it just wasn't some, we're hanging out with the lanterns and having a good time fishing. This was livelihood. Jesus said, cast out on the other side. Peter's like, Lord, we've toiled all night. Really? You don't read an ounce of faith in Peter's voice, anything of what he says. But he simply says this. Nevertheless, and to me, nevertheless is almost one of those things like you're just trying to humor somebody. Nevertheless, at thy word. Sometimes this is all the faith you've got. This is it. Listen to me, those children of Israel going through the heartaches, the problems, the situations, the things that they faced, the issues that we don't have this and we don't have that. But they always had one thing in Egypt. You know what they had? They had a word from an old prophet that said, don't you let my bones hear. Someday you're going to the promised land. Someday you'll be out of this misery. He didn't know what was going to happen, but I believe God had something involved in him realizing that he had to put something in their hearts that said, do not leave my bones in this place when you leave. And every time they got distressed and every time they got down, they had that word that those bones were there. We're going someday. Listen to me. If we have only hope in this world, we're above men all. Most men miserable. We're just a bunch of miserable people. But we don't have hope here only. We have hope that someday we shall sing in a heavenly choir. We shall walk on the street of gold. We shall see pearly gates. Someday, if we hold fast, how do I know it's here? I don't always feel it. I don't always see it. But I know it because I've got it right here. No manna. No rod, no problem. This is it. This is it. It's time somebody falls in love with the Word of God. It's time somebody realizes that you've got what it takes. I'm going to tell you our problem, one of our problems in Pentecost. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying, but I've seen enough. I've done it enough. Well, when we get a good youth pastor, we'll have a move in our youth. Well, when we get more classrooms and more Sunday school teachers. Well, when we get a bus to pick up kids. Well, when we get a piano player. Well, when we get that. Well, when we dwell on what we don't have all the time. That's our mindset. That's what it is. But I don't read where Solomon opened up that ark and said, well, when we get the pot of manna, we'll have revival. I don't read where he opened up the ark and said, well, when we feel that we are called of God and get another rod that budded, then we'll have it. But he opened up that ark, and there was one thing, nothing in the ark save the Word of God. And the Bible tells me that amidst that, we see one of the greatest moves of God you will ever see. It says this, it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. That happened without provision. That happened without a rod that budded. All it took was the word of God. Stop focusing on what you don't have. You've got it all right here. You've got it all. No manna. Poor me. Listen, I throw the best pity parties you would ever want to see. I'll be honest with you. I do. Sometimes it's a wonder that my thumb isn't permanently wrinkled from sucking it in a corner somewhere. There has been times on more than one occasion, and my wife will verify it, where she's came in and tried her best to cheer me up. And I've said, I just want to pout. Don't cheer me up. Yeah. I was in here praying this morning and remembering whether there was no carpet on the floors, and the pews were stacked up outside in the trailer, and there was 10 or 12 or 15 folding chairs laid out, and it was damp, and it was dank, and it was chilly, but God was here. Now there's pretty chandeliers. Carpet that matches the pews perfectly, and the walls wonderfully. What's our excuse now? What's our excuse? Well, I just wish we'd be more evangelistic. Then you'll be more evangelistic. Well, I just wish we'd be more on fire. Well, why don't you get on fire? Well, I just wish we'd run the aisles more. Well, why don't you run the aisle? Well, I just wish more people get behind Pastor and say amen. Why don't you get behind Pastor and say amen? Listen. No manna, no rod. They're excuses. They're excuses. I tell you, it's no problem. It's no problem. Let us stand. See, the last trip to Israel was the most life-changing event that I ever had. I've had some great experiences in Israel. I've cried, wept, poured my heart out at the site that they think was Calvary. I don't know how you can't be in there just knowing that this is the area where our Savior died. I've seen some amazing scenes and sights. I've seen hundreds upon hundreds of Jews dancing at the Western Wall, looking just like we do when we worship, and realizing, wow, this is our heritage. I've seen people beaten for the name of Jesus. But nothing changed my life like a testimony I heard. Tel Aviv is the most godless city in the Middle East. I'm thinking Istanbul, and I'm thinking what's the big one? Islamabad ain't got nothing on Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv's a wicked place. It was in the basement, our church in Tel Aviv, and I heard a little Filipino girl give a testimony that changed my life. She told how that week her employer caught her reading her Bible. Not her app on her phone, not on her computer, And I'm not against, I preach from it. That's not what I'm saying. But she was reading her Bible. Her employer caught her, and he beat her. He beat her. And she said to him, I don't want you to beat me, but you won't stop me from reading my Bible. She said. And you probably would have clapped when you were there that day, but I got on my face and wept. I said, Jesus, how many times have I just picked this up looking for a sermon? How many times, Lord, have I let this go for days on end without getting in it? How many times have I ignored it? And here is this little 5'2" Filipino lady that's willing to be beaten every day, so be it, if she can read her word. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? I can't tell you I have the best financial plan that you're going to be taking care of in every situation. I probably could, but you really want to hear it. Give your money to Jesus and watch him take care of it. I can't tell you that you're always going to feel special and chosen and like a royal priest. But I can tell you, you've got this. David, miles from the palace, hiding out, and even the fellows that were with him spake of stoning him. Scripture says David gets the ephod, and he encourages himself in the Lord. See, it doesn't tell us exactly what he did, but this is my mind. I think that he, in his thoughts, went back to a hill where he penned words that said about the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Where he penned words that said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his wonderful works. Where he penned the words that said, thine word have I hid in my heart, and I might not sin against thee. That's all he had. That was it. I'm wondering if there's somebody here that hasn't had a bout with some faith issues. Somebody here doesn't trust God. Lord just spoke it to me as quick as just, somebody here has trust issues with Jesus. Your faith has been damaged, and you know he's speaking to you to step out, and you will not do it because you say, Lord, you failed me too many times. Somebody here doesn't trust him. You're measuring your relationship with him on your manna and your rod. His word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Somebody here has felt that they've went too many times to the altar with a problem. Too many times. There was a man that was laid at the gate beautiful daily. I wonder how many times Jesus walked by that man. But one day, something quickened in Peter and John. What if this was your day? What if this was your day? No manna, No rod, no problem. Somebody needs to find this altar. Somebody needs to find an altar at their pew. Somebody needs to find a place where they cry out to God and say, Lord, forgive me for my doubt. Forgive me, Lord, for basing your love upon the blessings in my life. His blessings are not a measurement of his love. Oh, yes, daily he loaded us with blessings, but you had breath in your lungs today. That's a blessing. Your heart is beating today. That's a blessing. Don't let the garbage of this world tell you that it's cars and homes and fine clothes. It's the blessings. Somebody needs to find an altar. Somebody needs to make up their mind today. No manna, no rod, no problem. If Brother White will put some music on, this altar is open.
Shut up, Carolomo, son of a bitch.